new bid optimization rules in Adtomic, day parting, and how to optimize your PPC for voice search. This and so much more on today's episode of the Serious Sellers Podcast.
How cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. If you're like me, maybe you were intimidated about learning how to do Amazon PPC. Or maybe you think you just don't have the hours and hours that it takes to download and sort through all of those sponsored ads reports that Amazon produces for you. Adtomic, for me, allowed me to learn PPC for the first time, and now I'm managing over 150 PPC campaigns across all of my accounts in only 2 hours a week. Find out how Adtomic can help you level up your PPC game. Visit h10.me/adtomic for more information. That's h10.me/ADTOMIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Sellers Podcast by Helium 10. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host. And this is our Tacos Tuesday, where we talk about all things Amazon advertising, sometimes Walmart advertising. We answer all of your questions as well. And we usually have an expert guest on here as well. And so we do have an expert guest today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our expert guest, one of my favorites. And I'm going to go ahead and add him to the stage. Hello, Vince.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm great. How are you, Carrie?
I'm doing well. So most of everyone knows you, but I just want to introduce Vince Montero. He is an Amazon expert. He's an Adtomic expert. He knows so much. I've seen some of his accounts. He does an amazing job managing accounts. And so he is definitely the one that you want to ask questions about PPC. So somebody said, yes, Adtomic, PPC, all of that. I'm very excited to ask you about that. So can you tell us more about those and just, you know, how you basically, I mean, if you want to share like how you utilize them, any strategies that you want to share with anyone about the custom bid rules that are in Adtomic now?
You know, when we, when it was launched, we had templates built in, you know, for scaling based on ACoS or focusing on impressions or just focusing on sales. And what I like with the new capabilities in Adtomic is actually just the ability to create a custom bid rule for yourself. I would say it's more of an advanced feature. I wouldn't recommend it maybe for a brand new seller. You would want to still use the algorithms that are built into Adtomic. And most people understand the concept of, you know, hey, I want to scale my bids towards a certain, you know, target ACoS. The thing with that, once you get going for quite some time, is that you want to do certain things that maybe don't have quite big of a swing, right? Sometimes if you have, and I see this a lot, which is a mistake, don't do this. When you set your target ACoS like right off the bat at like 10%, which is crazy. You should never do that. You should set it higher, but people do that. And it ends up, you know, obviously making big swings and big adjustments on your bids, especially if there's new campaigns or new keywords. So Adtomic is a tool, and it will catch the things that it sees and does and make decisions accordingly. The thing I like about the bid rules is the ability to kind of scale things a little bit more gradually, right? So the only way I thought I can really kind of explain this is to actually just show you guys a bid rule, and then we'll just kind of walk through a bid rule that I've been honestly optimizing, I should say, or updating for the past, basically all year. I've been working on this since the beginning of the year. And as you can see, the last title for this is updated rule 4.1. So in Adtomic, there's lots of things that you can do, make updates. I always put dates on things, right? So that you know, oh, okay, I made this update or this change on this certain time, and you can actually track performance. This is no exception. Do the same thing with day parting, you know, for example. What I was kind of alluding to, first of all, in case people haven't done this, you create a name, you add all your campaigns, right? So Adtomic's going to show you all the different campaigns you have in the account. You can pop them over into the rule or not. This account basically has a very similar type of product. So all the campaigns are in it, except for the branded keyword campaigns. Branded keyword campaigns, or maybe ranking campaigns, if you had those kind of sit outside of general rules. So those aren't really included in this, but we can talk about branding campaigns or ranking campaigns if you guys like. But for the core concept, I'll be looking down because my screen's actually down here. So if you guys are wondering why I'm looking down, you know, basically what I like, what I said is I like the ability to create ranges of ACOSs, so ranges of goals, and you can do this with impressions. You can do this with spend. So you really have the ability to say, okay, if I have a result that's between a certain range, I want to like, how do I taper it down instead of like some of those big swings that I was talking about that can happen with bid adjustments. So I've got some ACOS scaling. Now, this is very, very, this strategy that I'm doing right now is kind of excessive. I'm actually looking, I'm expanding this account. So you can see some of these bid ranges are like 45 to 55% ACOS and above. So I've got everything from 15% ACOS all the way up to 55% ACOS. And I'm really only lowering the bids if it goes over the 25 mark. And I'm drastically lowering the bids after when it goes over 55. Now, that's, you know, pretty high for a lot of people. I'm kind of in a scaling mode in this account. So you would want to look at this rule and be like, okay, what are my tiers that I could potentially add that I'm comfortable with? Maybe it's 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, right? So this might be a little bit aggressive for most people, but I'm just letting you know, you have full control. So you can put any kind of numbers you want in here. So I've got different tiers in here that basically say, you know, if the ACOS is between 25 and 35, I want to decrease that, but decrease it focusing on RPC. So there's lots of different ways that you can tell the rule what to look at. I really like the revenue per click, and it's basically kind of a flip side of the CPC and the target ACOS. So it's not just taking into an account, it's actually its own separate algorithm that's basically saying, what do I need to spend per click and how is that going to generate a sale? And you can actually set an ACOS target in that. So what I've done here is say that the RPC ACOS target is 15. So it's generally going to lower this. If it's 25 to 35, it's going to try to lower this bid, but it's not going to do big swings. It's going to do it gradually. So the goal conceptually is if I've got anything between 45 and 55, let's say it's got a lot of sales. I don't want to drastically cut it down to like 20%. I want to graduate it to a 35 to 45% range and then 35 to 25 and then maybe down to 15%, right? Which is actually a key target ACOS for this particular account. Now, this one here, it's a little bit different because I'm not reducing it down completely. I'm actually putting it in the middle. So between 15 and 25, if it's at 15% ACOS, it actually could afford a little bit more. So I want it to go up to 20. If it's at 25 though, I'm kind of like, okay, I kind of want to weed you down. So that's why this particular goal is kind of in the middle. And again, guys, you know, this is months of me kind of working and working with Travis on this too, who I still speak with in some of the our chats. And so you can really customize this. And what I liked off the bat, what I was seeing is if I got ACOS between 0 and 15, which is an amazing ACOS, most people will agree, a 15% and below ACOS is amazing. I didn't necessarily want it to adjust to the RPC anymore because I was seeing it decrease the bids sometimes. So I just said, hey, if it's below a 15% ACOS, I'm going to increase the bid no matter what it is. So I don't care about any other metrics. If it's a sub 15% ACOS, I'm just going to increase that by 5%, right? And again, you can play with this percentage. If that's too high, you can say 2.5. You can say 2%. If you want to go bigger, you can say 10% increase. That's the beauty of this kind of thing. So you can do lots of different scenarios. And then the, let's see, if it's 0 to 15. Now, I did put a cap on this of $5 because I don't want to go crazy with the with the bid adjustment. So you want to place some caps, right? So I basically said if it's up to 5, if it is... if it does hit to 5, I don't know what. Oh yeah. If it goes to 10 though, cap it, right? Again, this account has a big margin, so it can afford a $10 bid if it's below sub 15% ACOS, but I really don't want it to go above 10, right? So you can set some guardrails. The other guardrail that I want to mention that is in here is the minimum and maximums that are in some of these that you can see here. Now, I started out doing minimum and maximums here, but what I realized is that this is just ranges. So it's not really telling Atomic only adjust the bid in this range. It's saying only look at bids, at keywords that have bids in this range. So it's a different way of of looking at this kind of control, this guardrail. So you kind of want to be careful. It really actually should be min-max range versus min-max bid. So I kind of took it out because I'm just looking at performance. It doesn't really matter to me what the keyword bid is at the moment. I care about maximums. I don't really care as much about minimums. So I kind of just took those out. But I do want to make that clear what min and max means. So without getting into super detail, you can do ACoS. I just showed you the ACoS result. And now I'm looking at spend. So you can also do it.
There is one question here. How are these graduating to the next criteria from one to
the next? So there isn't really, that's a great question. There really isn't an order, right? So I just started the rule with ACoS guardrails, right? And then I set my guardrails for spend and, spend without sales, right? Because spend without sales is another rule that you want to do. I could have started with the spend without and no sales, right? So there's no flow per se. There's flow now I'm looking at the spend, and no sales section. So there's flow there, but it's not like these are happening one at a time. Atomic's looking at all the data from, I think there's 20 different levers in here. Let's scroll down to the bottom. Atomic is looking at all 18 of these chunks all the time and making the bid adjustments based on that. So it's not based on a flow. So for example, as I mentioned to you guys at the top, I had ranges that capped at 45 to 55. I forgot to add, what if the ACoS is above 55, right? So I just did that at the bottom. So even though this is at the bottom and the other ACoS sections at the top, it doesn't matter. Atomic is still going to look at the ACoS that are above 55% and make this call, which is, hey, drop the bid down to 20 cents. If it's sponsored brand, it's going to drop it to 0.25 cents because that's the minimum for sponsored brands. So I know if I've got any bids, because this won't pause keywords, right? This is just bid adjustments. But if I've got keywords and I look and I see any keywords that are below 25 cents, I know that those are keywords that were caught in this and I can pause those, on a once a month. Is this adjusting your bids? Yes, it is. It's actually the screen we're looking at right here at the bottom. So I'm having this run daily. You can have it run weekly. You can have it run monthly. You can set different times. I just have it set at midnight. So every single day at midnight in PST, you can also set it in your time zone, right? Which is awesome. So you guys in Germany, you guys in the Philippines, you can set it to your time zone. So it does it at midnight and you wake up and you see the changes. You can also set it to manual and automate. I haven't set it to automate yet because I've been looking at and refining and fine tuning things. And I actually was going to set this to automate yesterday, but I realized, I'm going to be on this today. If anyone wants to see my suggestions out of this, then I wanted to pop over to that. And I do suggest that. I do suggest that you guys, because you can make adjustments and see the results in real time, you should be manually looking at these things on a daily basis every morning. Yes, it's a little more work. You're looking at maybe several hundred keywords, right? But once you get the filters down of how to look at it. So I wake up, I look at the suggestions, I hit my zero spends and no sales. Then I'm looking at all the rules or the suggestions that are based on what's in here for the things that were spend and no rules, right? If I want to see the ACoS, then I put in my filter over 30% ACoS. I see all the bid adjustments for that. And I kind of just do it that way. But how are these criteria not working against each other? So they potentially can. So I'll show you in one way. So I talked about the ACoS section. Now I'm looking at the spends. So generally speaking, you're looking at spends and no sales. You want to get additional data on a keyword to see if it's going to be worth it, right? So generally, you can also do tiers of spend and no sales. So I've got a tier here for, again, this is flipped. You can see the first tier is actually right here, 0 to 15, and then 15 to 25. So it doesn't matter that these are flipped. It's still going to look at it. So 0 to 15, I'm saying, hey, if it's only spent $15 and no sales yet, I want to increase that by 2.5%. Once it gets to 15 to 25, that's a little bit higher, right, than 15. Now we're looking at $15 to $25 in no sales. Then I'm saying, okay, set it to the CPC. I have some data here, and so now I can just reference the cost per click. And then it'll continue to spend and we'll see what it does. Then I've got upper tier spends, right? Again, this is a high margin account, guys. So I can go all the way to $45 and no sales before I make a decision. So I've got a tier for 25 to 35 and then 35 to 45 with no spend. Now, these are pretty high, right? So if you've got if you're a little concerned, you're like, oh, wow, this is getting towards my upper limit, you can start decreasing, right? So you can see here, if it's between 25 and 35 and no sales, I've got decreased by 2.5. If it's 35 to 45 and no sales, I got it decreased by 5%. So you can, as it gets closer to that top tier spend and no sales, you can start decreasing it. And you could do these in $5 increments. You could, if you wanted to do it, if you wanted to be a little bit more granular, you could say, you know, 20 to 25, 25 to 30, 30 to 35. So you can be as granular as you want. But the other thing, and to answer your question about if it could potentially, cross each other, it can. So because, and this is something I just added at the bottom right here, this impression one. So basically, in order for me to be a little bit more confident that I'm not just increasing bids on keywords that just haven't made a sale yet, but they haven't reached my spend threshold, I added this impression layer, and that basically just says, this is less than. So we've got zero impression rule two. You want that. If you've got brand new keywords, sometimes they don't have any impressions. So you're going to want, hey, if it's got less than 1,000 impressions, no clicks, no sales, I want to start increasing those as well. So this goes five. This increase, it's 5%. And then you keep on going until it hits $5. If it hits $5 and it has zero, less than 1,000 impressions and no spend, no sales, I pop it back down to $2, and then it kind of goes back into the loop, right? So, but the thing that I wanted to mention that you can cross is if it's greater than 1,000, right? And it still doesn't have any sales. And as long as it's above my 0.25%, and the 0.25% again is, that's because I've got another rule that says, hey, if this is over 55%, drop it down to 20 cents. So I don't want to increase that keyword that I reduced from that other portion of the rule. So you always got to keep that in mind, right? And say, okay, if I'm doing an increase, I want to make sure I don't capture the other stuff that I've already reduced. So that's what this greater than 0.25 does. So, but how it affects that other range about the spend and no sales, if the keyword spent $35 and has less than 1,000 impressions, it's going to reduce it to that 2.5% that I showed you, right? However, if that keyword has $35 in spend and no sales, but it has over 1,000 impressions, which means a lot more people have seen it, it's going to actually drop it down to 5%. So whatever the bigger change is the one that will take into effect, right? So this one has a bigger decrease. So it's actually going to supersede that other rule and drop it down by 5% versus the 2.5%. So I hope that makes sense.
All right. I'm going to read another question for you. This one says, is it possible to adjust bids based on organic ranking? Example, an item is number one organic, so dynamically lower the bid instead of returning duplicates. Use the budget for items that are not already ranking well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, organic and sponsored ranking bid algorithms is something that I have wanted for quite some time. You still need to do those separately. We do have Keyword Tracker, which is connected to Atomic, that can help you make those decisions. But no, unfortunately, looking at the different options that you have available to you, you can make decisions based on lots of different things. But organic ranking isn't one of them. And I don't know how you would basically add that into this kind of rule set. If that does get added to Atomic, it's probably going to be just another custom algorithm, like the current scale, which is the ACoS one, or the sale volume one, or the impressions one. That would be something that you'd want to add as a separate bid algorithm. Because now you're talking more like a ranking campaign, and ranking campaigns are different than, hey, we're trying to see how many sales we can get from these PPC keywords.
This is the last question from me, and then we have some questions, a lot of questions from the audience. So this is a kind of a newer topic, but how is voice search optimization affecting PPC?
A lot of people are talking about the move that's happening right now with people getting more and more comfortable with their Alexa or their Google Assistant or their Siri. I'm still a holdout. I still don't have an Alexa. But it kind of makes sense to actually incorporate this, because you can do searches so much quicker, right? You can ask it for directions. You can ask for lots of different things. So a lot of people, a lot of shoppers are now using it as their search query in Amazon, right? So this is kind of a big shift in how consumers are interacting with technology. And as AI is getting more and more integrated, it's only going to probably escalate that. So I recently did, you know, some research on this topic, and it's a little bit of an older concept that I used to talk about, which is long tail keywords, but thinking about it in a different way. So all we're talking about is, you know, how are people going to talk or ask questions if they're in Amazon doing a search for a product? So they tend to be longer, more conversational than text-based searches, right? When you're typing, you're not going to type as much. When you're speaking, you're going to talk more. So mm-hmm. people usually ask full sentences like, what's the best protein powder for muscle gain? Versus if you're in Amazon, you might just go protein powder, right? Or best protein powder. So when you think about how people talk, that's really the basis for how you might maybe want to adjust some of your strategies. And PPC really is no exception. So you kind of just want to think about, okay, what am I selling? Who am I trying to sell to? Where, why, when, like all the W's, right? And how. And then try to think, okay, what different ways are people going to be searching for your product? You guys could even use AI for this. You can ask ChatGPT, how might people search for my product, right? And you come up with a whole different list. And once you do that, then you kind of get a feel for, all right, maybe I need to adjust or add some different phrasing into my listing, or maybe even my PPC. So the keyword strategy for this is simply include long tail conversational phrases. Like, instead of the protein powder, put protein powder for muscle gain, right? A lot of people might not be searching for it now like that, but we're going to see that trend increase. And that's why it's important to think about now. What I like to do is basically put those in their own campaigns. So, you know, long tail keywords should be in their own campaigns anyways. And for anyone that doesn't know that term, long tail keywords, it just basically means a keyword that has three or more keywords. I actually look at it as four or more keywords now, especially when we're talking about this optimizing for search. You do want keywords that are four or more words as the target, right? So find those, do a little research, find those keywords, put them into campaigns, and then, just track, you know, obviously optimize them as you would normally do. But you can also, like I said before, you can also maybe update your landing page, right? So you don't need to do a full overhaul of your title or bullets or product description. But what I like to, you know, suggest is your FAQ. Like people, right? A lot of people still don't use FAQs in their listing.
Do you have your friends write in the FAQs, or?
I won't.
How do you do that?
You know, there's lots of different ways, but the best way is for you to go ahead and incorporate those questions into your listing. And again, doing that research ahead of time. And again, there's lots of AI out there, so you can actually ask ahead of time, hey, what kind of questions would I get in related to this product? So you can literally take that exact question, right, and potentially put that as an FAQ and then answer it. So you're basically, you're taking that conversational question and then adding it as something that Amazon's able to pick up, right, in your listing. A lot of people say they don't use FAQs because it doesn't really help with that, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's going to become more and more important as more and more people are actually searching just by talking, you know, to Amazon.
Okay, so we've got some questions from the audience here. So this question is, we are around 3 weeks of our new product launch, GT Bottles water bottle. Our ACOS is still above 100%. Is it normal? What should we do to reduce ACOS?
That is normal. Yeah. If you guys have watched any of my content, I always say when you're first launching, you are break even ACOS for the first 3 to 4 weeks. You're in data collection mode. And all that simply means is you don't know what you don't know until you have the data. So you can't get that data unless you're spending, and 100% ACOS means that you're spending. Hopefully, I mean, a break-even ACOS would be slightly less than that, right? So what is your cost, what is your product cost? What are the margins and things like that? A typical break-even cost might be like maybe 80% or 85%. So as long as you're not losing money, right, that you're spending, I would say if you go into week five and it's still 100% ACoS, that simply means that you haven't optimized based on the data that you already have. If you can afford it, I'd say go to 4 weeks and then really stop what you're doing and then look at all your data and then optimize down. And then you should see that ACoS drop significantly.
From John says, let's say we are using day parting schedules to adjust our bids to increase and decrease at certain points of the day. If we decrease our bid between 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Monday, for example, will the bid automatically return to its original value after that time frame? Or will we need to have the bid increased manually by a proportionate percentage in the day parting schedule just to return it to normal bidding?
That is a great question. I unfortunately don't use bidding in my day parting. I use the budgets. I like just dropping the budgets down significantly and then popping them back up. I believe, though, let me read through it. If we decrease our bid between 9 and 12, okay, so like me reducing a budget, will the bid automatically return to its original value after that time frame? Or will we need to have the bid increased manually by... No. So your bid should go back to the bid it was at 9, right? So Atomic looks at the bid that it was at 9, it's going to decrease it by whatever percentage you put in there. Let's say you put 90% decrease, it's going to decrease it. And then afternoon, it's going to go back to the original. So it's always a change. It's change the budget, change the bid value at this time. And then at this other time after that, change it back, right? So yeah, you should not have to manually increase it again after that. That would kind of ruin the point of the day part. This is a day parting used to be done manually. People would manually go in and pause campaigns. That was how day parting began. Then they realized, maybe that's not the best signals to send to Amazon. Maybe we'll drop budgets. Now we're dropping bids. So people just used to do that manually. They'd go in, change, then put a timer, an alarm, an alert, and then go back and change things back. So the tool is doing that for you. So you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Next question is, what metrics would you suggest to focus on to create effective date parting schedules? So a lot of date parting questions.
I haven't even talked about date parting.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So a few key things on date parting, I will say out the bat. Atomic, it has hourly data as of February 2nd, so 2 months. So now actually is the time to be looking at this data set. Before, what I was suggesting was at least looking at 2 months worth of data, because at that point it wasn't hourly yet, but you had a bigger data set, so you can make good decisions. Now that we've got hourly data, I believe it was February 2nd that I saw that, you can actually look at shorter chunks of time, but not too short. So you have to be careful with day parting, I guess is what I'm saying. Best practices is the bigger data set that you can look at, the better, right? I see sellers too often just looking at a week, like they had a bad week, right? And then they just look at that week and then they create a day parting schedule off that week. It's like, no, there's tons of other things that could have happened that to affect that week. You want to look at a larger data set and then make decisions. And the other thing I kind of already said, I like to just change budgets, just drop budgets down. I think it's a much simpler lever for the tool to do versus changing all the bids within your campaign, especially if you've got a lot of bids, a lot of keywords in a particular campaign. It's more convenient to just focus on dropping the budget down and dropping it back up, right? It's a simpler change for Atomic and for Amazon. So that's a me thing. But what are the metrics? Honestly, it depends on the client. Mostly for day parting, we're just looking at, hey, we're just seeing too much spend, and we're seeing good results, but we just want to reduce it down. So if that's the case, all I do is I look at the top spenders. You know, let's say over a 2 month period or 1 month, look at the top spenders. Doesn't matter their performance really, and just say, oh, okay, can I make adjustments for these top spenders in certain periods of the day? Look at a 2 month period. The other thing I would suggest you do is look at the camp, and it's a longer process, but look at the campaigns individually, right? So don't just look at, you can put a whole set of campaigns into the day parting section and just look at the results for all those campaigns. But they're different campaigns, and those different campaigns have different keywords. So they could actually be performing differently at all different points of the day. It's more work. I prefer looking at one campaign at a time and creating a day parting schedule just for that.
If you advertise only a few of your most popular ASINs out of 130 variations, how does Amazon attribute PPC sales on the non-ad variations that the customer may purchase, or do they?
Yeah, they do. So what they do, you'll see this actually in Atomic. If you use Atomic and go to your products in analytics and click on products, right? You'll see all the products that you're advertising on, but then you'll see the actual total sales. So what you'll see sometimes is you've got this ad spend over here, but your total sales is less than your PPC sales. If your PPC sales are ever less than your total sales in Atomic, that means people are buying, they're clicking on this, but they're buying other products. Amazon doesn't tell you what other product they bought. It just attributes that sale to that ad. Amazon's just looking at the ad, right? The ad is what the shopper clicked on. There's a product in that ad, but Amazon really doesn't care about that. This is the ad. They clicked on it. They went to your landing page. They picked a different color. It's still your product. You still got a sale. So you show that sale amount for that ad, right? But it doesn't mean that's what they bought. It doesn't mean it's the product. That's why it's important to look at your analytics in Atomic in the product section and see, do I have a lot of total sales for a product that has low PPC sales? That means, oh, I actually should be advertising that one that's actually getting all the sales, right? So they do attribute it, that you do get the sale, but it may not be the product that the shopper actually purchased.
All right, next question. How long would you consider the auto campaign keyword harvesting phase to be effective?
I love this question. So I like to, there's a couple different ways to answer this. The best one is if it's working, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I see a lot of people turn off auto campaigns simply because they think that they've gotten the most juice out of it. You never know. People are coming up, and especially now with this voiceover surge and especially with AI coming out, who knows how things are going to change. Customers are always going to find different ways of finding your product than you can really imagine. That's what the auto campaigns are really good at and good for. But if you do feel you've maxed out an auto campaign, I've been doing this since 2017, right? My clients that I started in 2018, 2017, do they still have the same auto campaigns on? No. What you can do is turn them into low bid auto campaigns, right? So if you really feel like you've maxed out, I'm not going to give you a time frame because there really isn't a time frame, but if you feel you have maxed out an auto campaign, make it a low bid auto campaign. And that simply means you're just dropping the bids on, you know, all four of the levers that are available to you. And it's just going to catch low hanging fruit, right? At odd times of the day, 2 o'clock in the morning kind of sales, right? That's when it's not going to be a lot of sales, but you'll still get some sales and it should be a decent ACoS.
Going back to the voice search, answerthepublic.com is what some people are using. And I actually do agree that Answer the Public is where you get those questions people are searching for. So if you have those in your listing, it does help with this whole search optimization for voice.
Yeah, that is definitely one of them that I like. You can also use, there's a couple of different tools that are out there. You're making me look through my list. That's on there. ChatGPT is also on there. BuzzSumo, Moz Keyword Explorer, SEMrush, Google Keyword Planner even. Yeah, for free, you can leverage that as well. But yeah, there's lots of different tools, and that is definitely one of them. That's great. Just everyone get in there. You're gonna need to start thinking about this. And I keep saying AI for a reason too, right? Because I really feel like when AI gets more integrated, it's gonna follow the same kind of patterns that we're talking about for voice search optimization, right? Because when you're talking to AI, it's the same thing that we're talking about as how you might talk to Amazon if you're shopping, right? So we're not just talking about how do you optimize for Amazon for voice search as it is right now. We're also talking about how do you optimize for the AI integration that Amazon's going to be rolling out too, because all this stuff is still going to apply.
It was so great having you here. I know everybody, I could see people saying that they were happy to see you back here on Tacos Tuesday. And I was happy to have you as my guest. So thank you for all this amazing information. This was this was jam-packed, full of really great information for people to, you know, go ahead and do stuff like right away.
So, yeah. And I know I spoke quite fast, and I do tend to because I get excited about this kind of stuff. But if, if anyone has any, you know, follow-up questions, find me on LinkedIn. That's kind of like the best way, you know, to get a hold of me. And I'm pretty sure I'm the only Vince, or it might be Vincent Montero. I'm the only one in the industry that with that name. So you can always find me there.
Thank you so much to everyone who asked questions, and you were very interactive. And we're just so thankful for all of you. And we hope to see you on the next Tacos Tuesday next week. Have a great day, everyone.